so funny because, oh, let me say this.
Yes.
Stop, guys. Stop.
Hold the gold.
Hold the gold. Guys, okay. I'm going to roll right into this. We are recording episode 89 of The Crunch. We've got our lovely co-host Shane Beaumont back in the Crunch Room. How are you, Shane?
Very good. Great to see you, Jess.
Excellent. You too. And you may have heard, because we might put a bit of that early gold in, we might not, but we have Ronnie and Georgia in the studio today. Very, yes. Very lucky. This is our first celebrity interview on The Crunch.
When you say you're lucky, you could be like, at the end of this, you could be walking away going, be careful
what you wish for, guys, because it's a lot.
Well, we'll see how we go. Normally I have agents in here who are extremely nervous, and you guys are prepped and extremely experienced, so this is going to show all my flaws, so we'll see how we go. before we kick into Ronnie and Georgia, I just want to quickly, we haven't had Shane in for a little while, so just a quick state of the market, Shane, because things are changing pretty rapidly month to month, week to week. How are we going at the moment? What's spring going to look like?
Look. The interesting thing, speaking to a lot of agents, we're getting a lot of appraisals. Mm-hmm. Now, I'll give you a bit of a rundown. At the moment, you're looking at around 5,100 properties on the market. Mm-hmm. Take land out of that, it's probably 1,300. Mm-hmm. And there's about 950 properties a week transacting. So when people think things are moving quickly, they are.
Yeah.
And if nothing else came to market, it'd all be gone in a month.
Yeah.
Nothing else.
Yeah.
So when you look at it that way, it's pretty dire, actually.
Yeah, it is pretty dire.
But good things is, at the moment, you are seeing price growth because lack of supply. Mm-hmm. When we look at what I think will happen, and I might be wrong, but we've been right before, Jess.
We have been right before. Don't want to toot our own horn.
What we're starting to see in conversations with owners, interest rates, everyone knows that they are going to rise. Now, WA is not unaffordable. It might be a bit less affordable than the rest of the country. Okay, so when you go from having a interest rate of, let's say, I use one of our clients' example, $2,900 a month in May, they've just gone to $4,300 a month. So that, on the back of their rates come in August, they start to sit with the accountant and go, well, hang on, last year that was not costing me, now costing me $9,000. Mm-hmm. You know what? I might take that off the table because I think we've done well, and we never really planned to have this as an investment property. We just thought we might as well hold it because we could afford to.
So you're talking investment properties, not primary residence.
Investment properties, but the intent of the owner, in my opinion, wasn't a long-term hold.
Yeah.
It was just convenient because they thought
they were making some money.
It wasn't costing them.
Yeah.
That stock, I think, will come to market. In fact, I know it will.
Yeah.
So you will see more stock come to market, definitely. And when it comes to the rental side of things, for the first time in since pre-COVID, we've actually seen an increase of vacancy, 0.1%. So it's baby steps. But we're finally on the back of all this construction. People are finally starting to get their keys.
Yeah.
Now, we thought that would come 6 months ago. It didn't happen. But as people start to get their keys, especially in those working class areas where affordability, people maybe aren't ready to buy, don't have deposits, they need to rent, I expect to see a bit more freeing of that market. But I still think there's going to be growth in the rental returns purely for the demand and the amount of immigration we're getting.
Okay. So when are we going to start to see volume increase?
I would say, I don't think it's anything to do with the season.
Yeah.
It's more around the trends of what's starting to kick in and those costs.
Yeah.
But I would think next 3 months you'll see a bit of an uptick.
So off air you said we're going to go to 9,000.
In the new year, I think.
By January.
New year, I think it could potentially get to 9,000.
Okay. Properties on the market.
Properties on the market.
That's double.
And how many agents over do double. We have in WA?
Too many.
How many? Do we have an exact number?
Probably 2,000.
Roughly 3,000. It's 3,000-ish registered, but actively working would be less than that. We'd have to speak to our friends at Rewa to get the
guys.
Let me just get the app out.
Again, just to give, I guess, some agents that are maybe new in the industry some insight, average days in 2006, 2007 got down to 14. There was only 3,800 properties on the market.
Yep.
But in 2006, 2007, there was no Elcomos, there was no Byfield, there was no Perth was half the size. So the snapshot right now, there is less than what there was then when you actually look at what's available.
Yeah. And days on market are 10 to 12.
10 to 12, yeah. Average days pre-COVID got out 79. Stock on market in 2016 got out to 18,000.
Yeah.
So the choice was just, for example, let's say Gosnells. I would have a home open of 7 in a row, 3x1s on 680 square metre blocks. Right now we've got one, maybe two.
Yeah.
So.
And you had no one coming to those. Now you've got groups of 40 to 50.
Zero. Mm. Yeah. I remember having a day of 7 home opens and I had a duck at every single one.
What a time. You made it through.
That was a long day for you. A long day in the office.
Jess, I tell you what, he knows his stuff, but let's talk about that tan that he's got, because that is an impressive tan.
Mate, he's just come back from...
Hello, Bache.
Okay.
No, Bondi Sands, man. That's where it's at.
I just sold for a lot of money, Bondi
Sands.
Yes, yes. Back from Europe, aren't you, Shane?
I am, yep.
What a time,
With half of Perth, I'm really overseeing my Instagram feed just full of people and going, what am I doing with my life? Yeah. Ronnie, what are we doing with our lives?
I was mindful.
Not spending tens of thousands on flights because it's insane.
George, to tell them the truth, mate, we've just booked for next year.
We're not missing out next year, mate.
We're not missing out.
FOMO works well.
Yeah, that's it.
All right, guys. Thank you, Shane. No, very interesting. I look forward to holding you to that 9,000 in January. Crib will welcome
it. I'll start this.
Welcome it.
That was impressive.
He's impressive. He's that's why we have
him. He knows his numbers.
I don't have to do.
I'm not
going to
lie. I got lost a little bit halfway through that. I was like,
The agents
love it.
I'm
glad you know what you're doing. This is good.
Trying to educate. I think it's mainly just trying to get agents to understand there is trends and it's not going to be like this forever. So we'll talk about some of the other things that we're starting to creep into the market that maybe agents are doing, because I'd love to get your thoughts as buyers, because obviously you're active buyers in the market. So it'd be good to get your thoughts on that.
And active sellers.
It's a roller coaster. It goes up and it goes down.
That's it.
How long
are
you stay on that ride for?
It's a cycle, isn't it?
And you have fun.
Absolutely. Guys, we're going to move to you two now, your experts in your field of yourselves.
Sure. Exactly.
To kick things off, I just want to – so obviously we mentioned Rewa before. You guys are the kind of new faces of Rewa. Very, very exciting. Yeah. Tell us about your role there, what you're doing, how that came about.
I mean, Rewa reached out to us and the timing was quite serendipitous, to be fair. We were actually on the hunt for a development site. I mean, the short version of this is – you know, we did a block in 2021. We won some prize money. We were like, we live in a 1914, like, weatherboard cottage. Like, it's falling apart, not going to lie. No utility. It's like bad.
It's 100 years old, right?
It's bad.
If you're 100, I hope you look
it's
back.
It's bad. And so the goal has always been, let's renovate it. So we did the big, you know, the big vision. We've got plans approved at council, engineered drawings. It's all priced up. And then we were like, yeah, we can't afford this. And so we went, let's go back to basics and what we do well, which is renovating and developing properties. Mm-hmm. And let's keep it simple. And so we went on the hunt, Bedford, Inglewood, Embleton, Morley, all suburbs that we've worked in previously. So,
bit of background for people who haven't watched the block. Prior to the block, you guys were flipping property.
Yeah, we've done about 10.
Yeah. Okay.
So the first time we were on the block in 2017, we've done 10 properties.
Yep.
And since then, we've done another 6 more.
Beautiful.
So this is our 16th house in Embleton.
Very experienced.
And look.
We were just on the hunt. And then Rewa reached out to us and we're like, this is crazy because we're
just on your website.
Yeah, we're actually looking to. And so that relationship has just developed. And, you know, from a search engine point of view, like, their website is amazing in terms of their functionality and everything they've got
the
built
data.
Into it. Yeah.
It's a great deal.
Yes.
We have certainly noticed that. And we're getting that feedback from the market that they're actually – is more user-friendly too, which
absolutely.
Is good.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And to break it down, when we're on the hunt for a property – we are driving around, we're looking at houses, especially houses that have just come on. If we don't have those relationships with those agents that we've renovated before in the past, what happens is you need that information at your fingertips and you need quick information. Because that's what we look for. We look for duplex, triplex blocks. We look for houses where it might be a perfect battle axe block where the house is perfectly situated at the front, off to the left, gives us, you know, 3.5-4 meters for the driveway. But there's a lot of people chasing what we are doing. So you've got to be quick. And to be quick, you jump on Rewa.com. And there you go. You've got that information at your fingertips, and that's what it's all about, because you want to be the first one buying that property.
Yes.
It's a really interesting, you're talking about speed. At the moment, I'm searching for properties myself. We have looked at realestate.com. It's obviously a big portal at the moment. Now, because how hot the market is, a lot of people are using Rewa to get it on there before maybe launching the bid campaign. So we've actually noticed some gems that haven't gone to maybe realestate.com or domain, but they are going to Rewa because agents are doing that coming soon. So
I was going to say, is it something a lot of agents will say it's off market or we're doing a pre coming soon and that is where they're putting it, right? Rather than
definitely, because two things. One, they have the capabilities of doing that, the Rewa website now, but two, the cost to an owner. It's significantly less for them to do that. So people that are excluding Rewa from their searches, maybe 2 years ago, not the case, but it's a different story now. You're not you're not seeing the full market if you're not on there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a huge mistake.
Yep. So tell me, when you guys, you obviously just said you've got relationships with the agents that you've worked with before. Do you have, given you have a specific farm areas that you're kind of working in, do you have relationships with one agent? I know at the moment you're working with Aaron Story from Beaucott. Have you worked with him before, or are you kind of just picking and choosing depending on?
So we've known Aaron for a few years because going back 7 years ago, I was a real estate agent for 4 years selling properties in Mount Lawley for Irving and Keenan. And I've always had a close relationship with Aaron because that bloke is genuine.
Mm-hmm.
That bloke is, he is not going to tell you a furphy. He's going to tell you facts, mate. Yeah. And that's what it's all about, because I really appreciate that. So before we brought Embleton, I actually caught up for a coffee with him because we'd always talked about Embleton for years and years and years, but we've never actually pulled the trigger.
It's like a good little, it's a little suburb. Not many people know about it.
Yeah, it's a little secret.
It's a really, and location-wise, it's really close to the city. You've still got full-size blocks in there. And it's affordable.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So that was ticked all our boxes, really.
Yeah. And with Bayswater train station opening up soon. And
the gallery is doing a big redevelopment.
It's huge. Mm-hmm. And Aaron told us all of this, and he told us numbers, and I was like, you know what? This is it. And after that meeting, within an hour, this one popped up, and we had to make a decision really quick.
Well,
luckily we brought it.
We've actually just listed the block for sale, and then he came over, and we were just talking about. And he was like pointing at every house around. He goes, "Oh, those people." He just like
knows everyone.
Every house. Once over.
Yeah.
Probably very similar to you in your areas.
Yeah.
A good agent.
He's a good, genuine area agent. Mm. Yeah.
He should have done that.
Yeah.
So, when we speak about areas, we speak to a lot of buyers' agents from over east at the moment who are obviously just
flocking. They're coming, guys. Yeah. They are coming.
So an area like that is a bit similar to, say, I use White Gum Valley as an example. Mm-hmm. People get caught up on Fremantle, maybe East Fremantle, and it's so close, but it's what happens a lot of the time when you're searching for a room is you might not want a particular suburb to pop up, so you exclude surrounding suburbs.
Yeah.
That's right.
And areas like that get forgotten. And what tends to happen is they play catch up really quick, maybe like Mount Hawthorne did with Mount Lawley.
Yeah.
So that's another example of where I know you might have to filter through a bit more property, but including surrounding suburbs, sometimes you find that gold too.
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
And, you know, just touching on making sure, because a lot of the times if you have a good relationship with an agent, and if he knows, like a lot of people knew what we were doing.
Mm.
So I would get phone calls. I'd say, Ron, you know, I've just signed up a listing.
Mm.
What are your thoughts? I mean, he's doing his job. He's got it all signed up.
Yeah.
I go to George. What do you think? We drive past him before you know it.
Yeah.
Salt stickers on.
Yeah.
So you've got to form those relationships.
Yeah.
And as agents, you know, you just got to keep on. And a big thing for me, when I was working for Irving and Ken, Stuart said to me, he goes, if you ever see a bin outside someone's house, stop. And skip ask the question.
I
got
so many listings from that. And that's true. While I'm renovating this house in Edmonton, I've been there for every day for 2.5 months, and I've gone through like 10 bins.
Yeah.
Aaron's the only one that's actually stopped and talked.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
I've had agents walk past me with pamphlets and hesitating to put it in my letterbox. I was like, why are you doing that, mate?
Because
he's just probably assuming I'm just a tradie.
Yeah.
But little does he know that that block's going on the market in the next couple of weeks.
Yeah.
In my first year of real estate, I was made to, like Lord of the Flies, go find skip bins and garage sales.
Are you serious?
Yeah, absolutely.
I love that this is a strategy. This is a legit strategy. Find the skip bins.
I had to do it as a part of it to see if I would make it as a real estate agent. And I had to stand at the front of an office, someone else's office, and every time someone come up to look in the window, say, can I help you?
Yeah.
It wasn't my office.
Oh, serious?
So it was brutal, but it does work.
Yeah.
Can they kick you out? Do they not say, can you move on? You loiterer.
It's like Saturday.
Oh,
yeah. Smart.
This is to get the job. So.
I love this.
And look at him. He's still doing it 20 years later.
Guys, you mentioned before, Ronnie, when you're looking at blocks, you're looking at the certain factors you're looking for.
Yes.
The 3-minute space for a driveway. Yeah. Talk us through some of those. Or Georgia.
Sure. Ron?
No, you go for it,
mate. I mean, this particular property was really interesting because when we were to subdivide, it meant that both blocks had street frontage.
Okay.
So that was a big appeal for us.
Because it's a corner block.
Because it's a corner block.
Yeah. So straight away we're like, boom, let's do that.
Yeah.
In terms of all the conditions that you need to meet for subdivision, that's really a Ron dog.
Yeah, so looking, because there's no secret, you're not going to make money buying a single house, spending money on it and flipping it.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you're in the western suburbs, you already make your money through duplex, triplex blocks.
Yep.
The money's in the land.
Mm-hmm.
So a very simple formula that I've calculated that's worked for us over the past. Let's say if I'm buying that house for $500,000 and it's a basic duplex block, I sell that land for $250.
What duplex block are you buying for $500,000 these days?
I'm making it very simple.
Oh, okay, simple
if
math.
You can't renovate that house and sell that for more than what you actually paid for it originally,
yeah,
it's not worth it.
Okay.
So that people ask, what's the secret? What's the formula? There is no formula. That's basically how it works. We've always sold well over, and that's because of this gorgeous lady sitting next to me. Because when you renovate, it's all in the design and it's all in the style.
Yeah.
So you've got, I've got mates that are developers that are, you know, Italian, Greeks. They don't get any input from any females.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And when they renovate a house, it's like a bachelor pad.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's no good.
Yeah. If you're trying to get an emotional price, you need someone to fall in love with it.
Absolutely.
Well, then it also comes down to if, you know, how smart you are with your budget renovating. You could totally overspec and then you're done.
Well, that's what I think some people who maybe you're talking about, Ronnie, are overspecking, right?
Yeah.
They go, oh, well, people want the, you know, the beautiful marble look or they want this, the glitz and the glam, but that's not necessarily what people look and what people want and it's costing a small fortune.
Yeah.
There's obviously
I guess we're in a unique situation where I'm doing all the work myself.
Mm-hmm.
Georgia comes up with the design. We don't really. I've learned a long time ago that she's always right when it comes to design.
You've got it on record, Georgia.
It took me three houses to actually figure that out.
Mate, you believe your own bullshit. That is so not true because every time you have to argue with me on everything.
Why am I just doing my job?
Like, honestly,
he's making sure you're.
Yeah. Just to touch on the duplex. So what I'm looking for is obviously areas that we've done it before. So I know the square meterage of that back block.
Mm-hmm.
I know roughly how much it's going to cost me for the subdivision. You know, going back, subdivisions used to cost $35,000-$40,000. Now they're anywhere from $50,000 to $75,000.
Mm-hmm.
But we used to get titles in 4.5 months back in the day. Now, it could be 6 months to 9 months just to get titles. Because to give you an example, I was talking to Monica yesterday from Vision Surveyors. Western Power is the one holding everyone
up.
That's
right, yeah.
Right.
They don't have the trades. They don't have the labour to come and put that green little dome in. And for you to get your titles, you might have met all your conditions. You're waiting on that one little green dome. Whereas it never used to be like that.
Yeah.
One question I'll ask. I sort of know the answer, what I'm experiencing in the market. But when you're looking at subdividing, survey strata or green title, I don't see any difference in price achieved if there's no common area. Do you go for green title or survey strata typically?
Typically, we go for battle axe blocks.
Yep.
We've only done 2 corner blocks in the 16 houses that we've done.
Yep.
But just to break it down, you only kind of go green title if you're knocking down the whole house and you're putting the fence directly down the middle.
Mm.
We don't do that because we always buy properties that we see value in, in renovating and adding value to.
It's also got something to do with services.
Yeah,
but
the only thing you're sharing when between survey strata and green title is you're sharing a sewer junction, which is 2 meters underground, and a green dome.
Mm.
That is it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So
people, I guess, a lot of agents know this, but when you're trying to give feedback to an owner who's about to develop, it's your job and duty to explain to them if there is going to be an impact in price. So let's just say in the western suburbs, the survey strata might not be as popular as somewhere like Embleton where people are just trying to get their piece of the pie.
Mm-hmm.
It's really important to probably have those conversations and know, before I start this development, what finishes do we need?
Mm-hmm.
Who's our target market?
Mm-hmm.
And with the development, what do we need to do to ensure we're not minimising a market?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Are you guys having those conversations with an agent, or you're pretty on it by now?
I feel like we've done our due diligence.
Yeah.
But we also consult with agents and Monica from, I want to say Vision Surveyors, but that was their old school name. What is their name now?
Vision
Surveying Consulting.
Yeah.
You know, we have all the experts in our back pocket.
Yeah.
And that's our team.
Yeah.
We only work with the best, and that's how we do well.
Good relationships.
Yeah. And that's. Yeah. With our agents, that's with our trades, that's the way we like to move forward.
So, for example, Shane, if you told me about an area in Gosnells that you specialise in, this is an incredible buy, this has just come on, I would be very hesitant in looking into it because that's not my area.
Yeah.
I don't have that information.
Yeah.
But if I'd known you for over 10 years and I completely trust you, then I would be more inclined to actually, you know what?
Do you know what?
Right. Because what I'm getting at is that there are people coming over in the droves from the East Coast over to Perth.
Mm.
Now, would we ever buy a property over in Sydney and Melbourne?
But if you're going to, you then just find, you know, the selling agent in that particular area and then you do your free search.
So you jump on Rewell and you, you know, you find out who the best agents are in the area, and away you go.
It is much, but before, I guess you've got those relationships, but as an agent, anyone could say they're the best.
Yeah.
We know everything. The reality is now no different to TripAdvisor. Mm. You look online.
Yeah.
If you're telling me you're selling 60 homes a month and you've sold six in a year, something's not right there. Yeah. So you are naturally going to speak to the people. That's not to say young agents won't get into the market, but the reality is you're going to speak to people who have proven track records to find out what's happening, what trends should we know about.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's really important.
Yeah.
I think that's the difference between, I mean, you guys are obviously in the market to make money, right? But I think that the majority of buyers and sellers are not doing that due diligence.
No.
I would say not.
The property flip side.
They're Googling agent.
They know their product, and then they go outside of it. So property flippers in Gosnells, they will buy the ugliest home, the most damaged home, and they'll do one a month.
Yeah.
But they know what it takes. When you start to go to a property maybe 500,000, 600,000 more, when it's not so much an investor market, that's when young couples and what have you, you've got to think differently.
That's a different.
You've really got to think differently.
Yeah.
So, again, you've got to know, like I say, you know what you know, but then lean on those great relationships.
Yeah.
And
what's really interesting with the property we're doing in Embleton is that we're not selling it. We have subdivided. We are selling the vacant block. But now we are completely renovating the house and we're going to be leasing that house.
Yeah.
But we're going to start holding on to it.
George is not sure
for
about
us,
that.
You know, it would be a very different situation if I would have had someone all those years ago saying, Ron, why are you selling them? Why? I never had anyone.
Are you not sure on the sale?
The reality was we couldn't afford it back then. That's the simple reality. We couldn't afford to hold.
I had this exact chat with one of our property flippers and I've just sold one of her ones 18 months later from what she sold it for. And she said, Shane, my model wasn't built for that. And saying that, reality is we're finally going up. So you might be able to look at changing your model, but 6 years ago, if you'd done it in 2014 and you were selling 2017, you'd be the dumbest person in the room because you'd lost money.
Yeah.
But we're finally, I guess, we have confidence in the market will change. So you might just see more holdings.
So what's the decision? What's gone into your decision to lease versus sell?
I just think the market at this point in time, obviously there's high demand for
rentals.
My issue with this particular project, and obviously our vision is we want to sort of start building a property portfolio. So we want to start retaining properties. I understand that.
I want to get a tan as nice as that. That's my goal in 5 years. That is my...
But for me, I'm just looking at this property that we're renovating and it's going to be spectacular and...
Leasing's a risk.
Yeah, it's a risk and I'm anxious about that. We've never done it before. Like you hear all the horror stories and I'm just like... We've rented properties before and we've been very respectful and we've actually really been very conscious about upkeeping the property. Yeah. I don't know if everybody's like that. And I'm like, man.
So then the next question
the quality has, like, you're exactly right. Yeah. It won't potentially come back how you had it. But what I would say, because people have to be on the best behaviour, you have seen an uptick in quality of tenants.
Yeah.
But for owners, I can say it's not always the highest bid that you want to be the tenant of your property.
No.
But unfortunately, that's what we've been caught up in recently, probably till recently. Look at the quality of the tenant and how you think they're going to give the home back, because $30 extra a week or $50 extra a week, work out having to do the gardens all again, paint the whole thing, fix seven doors.
But that comes back to working out the quality of the property manager, right?
Exactly,
it's similar
to
choosing a sales agent.
How do you even qualify someone to rent? Like what makes a good – like what are you looking at? It's on paper. How do you know that that person is better than that person?
I think then you have to build and create trust with your property manager, right, who knows their tenants, who's been in the area for a long time, who's a property manager who's been working at that agency for a long time. Like those are the things that you would probably consider.
We're
am I wrong, Shane?
Now, actually, a photo of the family.
Yeah.
Just to say, look, like we're good. Yeah. Maybe you haven't got four blokes pulling together and all having a room each. So it is trying to pull on the heartstrings a bit, but I understand. Yeah. It's
I had a conversation with a real estate agent a few months ago.
I was about to tell this story.
And he said to me how I've selected tenants for properties is, you know, he'll sit down with three or four people and then go, look, I'm just going to ask you a question at the end. It's a bit random, but can I look inside your car? And they're like, geez, what do you mean? What's going on?
I dress nice.
Yep. He walks out to the car and he has a look. If the car's tidy and clean,
big
tick. But if it's shit everywhere.
Yeah.
Like, what is your car like?
But my car's fairly clean. Like,
Shane,
I never have stuff in there.
You can move in.
Mine is clean, but a lot of contracts.
Pick me.
A lot of contracts.
That's okay. Business guy.
Mine has red dirt on the ground because I live in the hills, but there's no other mess.
Yeah. Yep. And the mud flaps.
I don't have mud flaps, but my husband does.
The question is, Georgia, are you getting that lease with your car?
Are you serious? Mm. Yes, I am. Oh, I didn't
got looking at how George is presented, she's yeah, getting the lace.
Sorry, I tell you I'm what, good. I'll be go. The first one to put my hand up. I am not getting that lace. My Hilux no. is full of receipts, yeah, is coffees. Full of yesterday's lunch.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not good.
It's
yeah.
true to form in our house as well.
So right? you go if you do put a rental application, just take a photo of the family.
I just think yeah. I do think that with property management, as you say, it's a risk,
mm.
and I think property managers. I think there's a change happening here, but they don't market themselves as well as sales agents, and it's a harder. It's harder. Like that's the important relationship, yeah. right? Because really, absolutely. If you've got a good PM, you're not yeah. talking to your tenants.
Yeah. Mm.
So it's finding the good PM, mm. and there, it's harder to find the individual. You have to look at the agency as a whole, right?
Sure.
Yes. Yeah.
So that's something I hope to see.
Do you get a lot of changing. Turnover in that market, though?
There is, but
I feel like
if you
do,
you,
don't you?
There
those
is,
girls do a lot.
There is a lot of turnover yeah. PM.
Sorry,
but then
those girls and guys, calm down.
Yeah. Okay. Predominantly. Yeah. In the office where they used to work at were all girls.
Girls and guys, though. Come on, mate.
But they were incredible. Mm. I mean, they were the ones.
Yes.
You know.
But I would say we work with a couple of very good property management agencies
yeah.
and the PMs working there have been there
yeah.
for 10 plus years.
Yes,
yeah.
That's right.
And
yeah.
their tenants and their owners
yeah.
kind of speak to that.
Yeah.
Right? But it's hard to find yeah. that information out unless you're
yes.
in the industry and you can say,
mm.
you know, it's like interviewing a childcare.
Yeah.
How long have your
oh,
workers
yeah.
worked here?
Mm.
You know?
It's scaring me now. I haven't done that yet, so.
Neither.
Well, yeah, get your names down, guys. That's all I'm going to say. Wow. It's a whole thing.
Can I just ask you just a couple of things? As buyers in the market, buyers and sellers, one of the things we always look for is when we price a property or we market a property, we don't want to miss out on anyone.
Mm.
So with pricing you're seeing at the moment, you're probably seeing a lot of no price or
mm.
offers.
Mm-hmm.
What do you, I guess, as a consumer,
yeah.
what are your thoughts around that?
Well,
your,
I mean,
your experience,
yeah.
but what are your initial thoughts on
I
that?
I would think if you're actively looking in the area, you can do your like comparisons, right? So you should sort of understand where it's sitting.
Mm.
But then
would you reach out always to the agent? Would you email or call?
Yeah, you would absolutely have to reach out.
Would
you run?
Would you do it with no price if you saw a property
and
had no price on it?
Offers.
Offers, yeah. Not a set date, actually offers.
Yeah, just offers, yeah. I would obviously reach out to the agent and have a chat and say, where do you think it's sitting,
mm.
based on what?
Yeah.
But you
and you're actively looking in the area.
He's not
going to
give you a number.
You can look at comparable sales.
This is the issue.
Of course.
We
yeah.
should, I think agents should be giving an indicative number.
Yeah.
Even a little bit of a hack, if you start to play around with the search
correct.
Criteria,
yeah, you can find that
yeah.
where it's
but
sitting.
Not everyone's,
no.
Everyone's having that much time to
no.
play, you know,
yeah.
the price is right.
Yeah.
So, would you think it's better having a price or at least giving a price?
I would prefer to see a price as a starting
yeah.
point.
Yeah,
to
and you're
know
talking
where I'm
to,
sitting.
Again, two experienced
mm.
people who are in the property
still,
industry, right?
What I'm saying is they're still anti-
put off by that.
So we get why we do it as agents
mm.
because
yeah.
we want to speak to you.
Yes.
But
yeah.
my thing I always think about and I say to owners is what about the people that maybe are the right buyer who just want, but they're not quite ready to buy, but they,
yeah.
if that's in their hitting zone, they
yeah.
go, oh, I'll do that.
Your
yeah.
preference is a range, right?
Yeah.
That's
or
generally
a price.
You price depend
a price.
On.
A price
yeah.
that I know that the owner would consider all things being equal.
Yeah.
So if you're putting a price down, let's
mm-hmm.
say 350,
yeah.
right? Yeah. Are you wanting 350 or is that starting,
never,
you want more?
So I will never market a property,
mm.
and this is what I say to owners, we need to be aggressive with our pricing to engage interest.
Mm.
The competition will drive the price, but we need to make sure if people make a list of three properties, we're on that list. That's first thing. Because
yeah.
the price isn't what it's worth.
Visibility.
It's the invitation to act.
Yeah. Mm.
It
yeah.
has to be an enticing invitation. So if we can get that right, the rest will take care of itself.
Mm.
But when we do not have a price, especially in a market that's not as an experienced buyer, first home buyers, it's quite
yeah,
daunting.
Yeah,
yeah.
yeah
so I think you miss out on market.
Yeah, exactly.
But I would say you're talking about in your market, which is
and
similar to the market Ronnie and Georgia are working
well,
within. Do you think in the over mil?
When I sell stuff over a million, quite often I don't do
don't
a price.
Don't do a price. Exactly. It's a different,
as
it's a
an
different
agent's
strategy.
Perspective, the reason is it's moved so quickly. So if I'm using sales from March and there's been low turnover in Mount Lawley, let's say Mount Lawley, there's 70 homes a year sell.
Yeah.
The sale in March isn't really relevant.
Exactly.
So my comparables.
And that's the conversation we had with Pete,
yeah.
Peter Zambotti
yeah.
when he was here, is that he's in that different market
so,
where he's not doing
some,
prices because it's
yeah.
moving.
Yeah.
Right?
So you do need to give an indicative guide, but in answer to your question, we'll never market a property that all things considered that the owner wouldn't consider.
Yes.
Yeah.
Over East, there's
yeah.
huge fines at the moment for bait marketing or bait mm. advertising.
Yeah.
We haven't had that issue because everything was going down. It's going up now. So with the market changing rapidly, you really need to scrutinise that sales evidence. But I just, it's good to get that feedback. With auctions, what are your thoughts as?
Oh, I think, I mean, our experience with auctions, you know, we've done a couple on the East Coast. I know that's standard practice.
And they flopped, guys. We came last.
You don't have to keep talking about that. Just let it go. Let it go, mate.
Oh, we're winning.
Well,
life,
if you,
babe,
if you're on the block and you could choose the method, which is an auction, what would you still do? Auction?
I think if you've got a property where there's a lot of interest, it could be a really exciting opportunity.
It's good for TV.
And they're used to auctions over there, right? Yeah, that's how the majority. It's a different market.
People, we've done an auction. We sold a property through Vivian Yap via auction, and that was just it wasn't. It sold, after it didn't sell.
That was the roller coaster that we were on about. We were up here and then we were down there when we sold. So that's that roller coaster.
Can I ask, obviously, having been on the block, how did you, and it's a completely different market to what you used to, blah, blah, blah. How did you select your agent over there? I mean, obviously, there's some production involved.
Within reason, we actually just went for the top selling agent
in that suburb.
In Hampton, Sandringham. And, and she was really great. But the block is very much a different machine. It's more about who you know and who's in with the producers. It's a whole thing.
And then you've got that Danny guy who just goes out and throws out random numbers. Everyone needs a Danny. You guys need a Danny. But, I mean, he just throws a different curveball. And now you've got Adrian Pacelli coming to the table. It's going to make for a hell of a TV show. But the prices in Melbourne, guys, oh my God.
Yeah, it's
why, I guess, the people moving to WA, and let's just use Embleton as an example.
Yeah, sure.
So like for like, I would say if I lived in Sydney, like for like, let's say your property you're going to sell for $650,000, the retaining home, just for example. Like for like, demographic, city location, airport location, you're probably $2 million.
So a
local buyer gets caught up, I don't know if I should pay $675,000. The eastern states buyer goes,
mate,
how much?
And we're getting the returns. And we're getting the rental.
Where do I find that buyer? What are we going to do?
So when I did that podcast with Mark Boris, I had people going, where can I get a retain and build property for $400,000? And I was like, and they're like, where?
Let me give you a
list. So you're the reason why they're coming over to WA, mate. They're listening to this podcast. They're jumping on Rewa and they're coming to WA.
So then next question, which you guys were also just talking about off air, in regards to the Eastern States investors, is that playing a role? Stealing your question, is that playing a role in how you're renovating a property? Because we're talking about the WA buyers walking around, knocking on walls, checking its double brick, the construction of the property and what their expectation is, very different to an East Coast.
Yeah, it was really interesting because when we obviously went and did the block the first time, it was all timber frame stuff and we're like, we used to like double brick in WA. Yeah. It's a very different, whereas that's standard practice on the East Coast. So,
do you think that's also why they can do it so quick?
Yes. You couldn't do them. It is a lot easier renovating a house which is lightweight construction.
But from a cost perspective
Especially putting on a second story.
Yeah.
I mean.
So you couldn't, the block couldn't be done in WA if it had to be double brick.
No. But do you want to know the reason why we only have double brick in WA? The only reason is because we have sand in WA. The East Coast, bricks. There is no yellow sand over there. So there's no bricks.
Well, I think climate's got something to do with it.
Yeah, but these days.
Right now. Yeah.
With technology.
Yeah, no, not anymore. Yeah, exactly. Sorry, back to your question.
The construction. The construction and kind of how you think about that over here.
Well, really it's dictated on the property that you're renovating.
Yeah.
But if we were to do an extension, 100% it would be timber frame.
We wouldn't
even consider. But
and I'll tell you what's changed.
Do you think I guess it's the demographic that you're selling to, maybe the older
demographics are knocking on walls.
Yeah, like, what's going on here?
No, but George, even with the show that you were doing before, the design and the houses that are getting built in WA are phenomenal. We're not behind the East Coast anymore.
No.
We are on par or maybe even in front.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because there are some amazing houses.
Do you think the quality, seeing what you've seen over there, the quality would be superior here to over East?
Yeah, because we have the block size.
Yeah.
Over there you see an amazing $5 million house on 350 square metres.
But we also have the climate and the lifestyle difference. We've got this indoor, outdoor living. You don't really, you get that over there, but it's not really the experience. Beautiful rooftop gardens. Mm. Like, we have some really cool stuff happening here in WA.
Yeah. I remember going to an auction on a Monday night they have auction rooms as opposed to at the front of the property.
Yeah, and they just kind of go through them.
Because it's raining. That's why.
Wait, in on the East Coast or here?
It was before an awards night or something, and I had how boring am I? I went to an auction night.
But that's why he knows all the stats. He's a nerd.
It was uninhabitable, 39 square metres ground floor. Council condemned. Can't live in.
Oh, my God.
And I was like, 1.1.
What suburb?
Darlinghurst.
Oh, my God.
Went for 1.15 over. And I was like, I just couldn't get my head around that. But there were bidders.
That's the size of an ensuite.
Like in Subiaco, that today, 350.
Yeah.
Maybe probably 350.
Yeah.
Like for like.
Yeah.
It's nuts.
Yeah. So. It's insane.
Mate, there are garages going in Bondi Beach leasing out for $800 to $900 a week.
Mm.
A garage.
Yeah.
It is garage,
yeah. And it's funny though, because towards the end of when was it? 2021, we were stuck in Bondi because we couldn't get back because of COVID and we'd been there filming the blog, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, so Nine put us up in this really nice accommodation and we got to sort of like walk around Bondi, North Bondi.
Yeah.
We met these families and they're like families, guys, living in a couple of kids living in a 2-bedroom apartment just because it's location for them.
Yeah.
I'm like, this is bonkers.
Yeah, that's
insane. And then we laugh now when people go, I wouldn't live on 380 square metres next to a park.
Yeah.
Like, but that's when you watch, what's that show, Love It or List It?
Yes.
And you see they show exactly that. Mm. They're living in like an 80 square metre with a four people apartment in Bondi and they're showing them these beautiful and I'm going, are you nuts?
Yeah.
But they're like, no, we can't give up the Bondi lifestyle.
Yeah.
But that's
I think that's societal pressure really.
I've always spoken about
that's what
this.
I think they need to get out of the ego and just be like, right.
Well that's right, because when you leave university, people are choosing lifestyle rather than, you know, should I go and get a job and maybe buy a house? But you can't do it.
Mm.
So that's another reason why they're coming over, because you're talking to first home buyers in the East Coast with budgets of 1.2 to 1.5.
Mm.
Now, that's not normal.
Can I ask, this is a question I always wonder when I watch these shows. The budgets for the first home buyers over there, are they making more money than us?
No.
It's interesting. how is that possible?
But what it is, and it's a big trend, which is probably the concern over East at the moment, a lot of property they would want to sell but they can't because it's born so rapidly. A lot of parents are going guarantor because of that.
Right.
2016
and the value of their homes doubled. Allows that.
Yes.
But
eventually you've got to pay it back.
Yes.
That Four Corners, a few months back, this Four Corners episode, I'm really boring, but Four Corners episode where...
I feel like you are ticking a lot of nerd boxes, you know,
the kids are talking. He's a plumber. She's a nurse. So, look, we paid 1.45 because we didn't want to miss the market. Reality is it's now worth 1.25. Now, they're not earning more there, but that 20% on security, it's concerning because that was based on a 2% interest rate.
Yeah.
Whoa. So... Now, you know, I was talking about the interest rates here. Median house price here is $565,000. It's affordable.
Mm.
But you get those interest rate rises and you owe $1.5 million and your income has not gone up.
Yeah,
that
hurts.
If you're a trader, you probably had a decrease on the back of the mining of the...
Oh, settle down, mate. Have you seen what Anthony Vinci is driving around in?
I have.
Come on, mate.
Which one? But it's not something doesn't add up.
Yeah.
So if you're looking for the market to free fall here, I can't see it. But over there, I'd be surprised if... they can stabilise as much as they already have continuing, because eventually you've got to pay it back.
Yeah.
Simple as that.
But also the banks have a lot to do with it, the way they're coming in and evaluating houses, because they don't use the same formula as the Delaware banks.
I had this chat yesterday.
Don't they?
I wouldn't imagine.
This is really interesting. So if I come and value your home for lending purposes, I don't have preconceived ideas. I come in, you probably call me as an agent, and you go, I think it's worth $500,000. But when you come value a property and you're looking to do a refinance or you're looking to purchase, they typically come with some form of an indicative price and they're really ticking a box to go, is it worth that or not?
Are we covering our asses?
Mm. Yeah. So it's a different sort of thing as opposed to guesstimating or actually coming there going, yeah, I think that's okay.
Right.
But this is what happened. Really boring, but Big Short. What's the Big Short?
Oh, yes.
And it's not to that degree, but it was just multiple on multiple on multiple, but the equity wasn't there.
Mm-hmm.
Eventually, and that's what we went through, I guess, probably in 2014 to a degree, but I don't think it's the same now. But it all was based on something that probably wasn't there in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We had some very well-trained mortgage brokers back in 2005 and 2007.
Yeah. Same as agents, took 3 weeks.
Yeah, but it wasn't up to the agent. It was how were you getting your money? And everyone had two or three houses.
Mm.
Of course it was going to pop.
Yeah.
I mean, but anyway, that is... Let's talk about the block. Let's talk about something.
Before Georgia falls asleep.
Could you tell? I'm just kind of like, I'm a little bit lost. Like, can we talk about
things? She's not her jam. She's a tell me what's coming up for you guys now. You're obviously renovating. You're selling the block. Your block, not the block.
Yes. Yes.
That's coming on the market soon.
Yeah.
Next couple of weeks. So we're
shooting it as a digital series.
Yeah.
We sort of identified that our followers are really interested in the process. Mm-hmm. They want to be educated along the way. They want to know how you do a subdivision, why you do a subdivision, mm-hmm. how you renovate a house, why you change it from a 4x1 to a 3x2, why you've chosen that kitchen design, things like that. So it's educational. It's going to be a little bit of fun as well along the way.
And we're teaching people how to do it themselves. Don't be afraid to do it yourself. Yeah. So. We're trying to crack the YouTube, Facebook market because, when you jump on and had a tile, it's American YouTubers doing
it. Yes.
So we're trying to crack into that market there because we're doing all the work ourselves. Mm. Giving away a lot of secrets, for sure, because, that's what it's all about. We've made a lot of mistakes over the past and it's not – we don't want other people making this.
Someone's still got to do it. The secrets are only –
It's just interesting. We're just really enjoying being back on the tools and doing it for ourselves. Post the block, we were sort of working for a lot of other people and renovating their houses. I was like, we need to get back to doing what we do well for ourselves.
Yeah. Mm. And you guys are producing that yourself?
Yeah, which is interesting because we've obviously got some amazing partnership with brands. But yeah, the EP role is hectic, behind the scenes. We're used to just being in front of the camera.
Yeah.
Now we're doing all the back end stuff as well. So we're learning a lot along the way. It's fun.
I mean, it's hard, but we're very fortunate that Georgia comes from a advertising and marketing background.
Mm-hmm.
So, she gets it because these days when you're ambassadors or you're doing sponsorship deals, they're sending over contracts, 15-page contracts, where you have to make deliverables.
People think this influencer world is fun and easy. Mm. It's actually a lot of
it's
work.
Changed.
Yeah.
There's a lot,
The difference is you're actually doing something. You're not just holding something.
Yeah. No. So, yeah, exactly. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Well, yes.
The proof is in the pudding.
But even when you're holding something, the amount of deliverables and reporting data you need to give, there's a lot of work around it.
But, the proof's in the pudding. Ronnie and Georgia Instagram handle, we get a lot of business through that. So we're very mindful. But content is king for us. Mm. So that's why we do these 3 or 4 month renovations because we want the before and afters.
Yeah.
We're posting, 5 or 6 times a day.
Yeah, basically we have brands wanting to come to us and we just needed an opportunity to be able to work with them. Mm-hmm. So that was a big motivation for us to also, do this
get back into
project.
It.
Yeah,
awesome.
So, it's good fun.
Exciting. Yeah. So people can find you on Ronnie and Georgia on Instagram. Is the series... Have you got episodes out? You're going to release all of that when it's done?
Yeah. So we're updating on the daily.
Yes.
But then the actual series is end of September.
Okay. Yeah. Awesome. And people will see that on your Instagram, link through to YouTube.
Correct. Yeah.
Beautiful. Love that. And obviously, if you click onto Rewa now, you'll see a little video down in the corner as well. If anyone goes to Rewa.com, you're there. You're all over
it.
Yes,
ball
sir.
As well,
are you?
We'll
see you there.
Shane, are we going to see you at the Rewa ball?
Yeah,
that's the big question. What are you wearing, sir? That's what I want to know. That's $1 million question.
I've seen my tan. I can
tell you. we're emceeing for the night. So
amazing.
Yeah, it's going to be fun.
It's going to be a really good night.
Apparently, there's a lot of awards to be reading out.
There are a lot.
Let's hope Ronnie sticks to the script. The likelihood of that is
zero. There's no egos at the Rewa ball. That's what you'll love, too.
Yeah.
Good fun. Should be good fun. I feel like I was like, I don't know, like, are we like, is this being sarcastic?
Yeah. It will be fun, and Georgia's going to have a great time cutting through everyone talking, getting their attention.
Like
that's going to be the tough
like
bit.
Got the cut through.
You've got it.
Come on.
Well, we look forward to that. Yes, it's my first time being allowed to go. We're partners this year, so.
Okay.
And Shane's, 15th on stage probably.
Mm-hmm. Mate, we're up for awards? Do we like clean up?
He cleans up every year, mate.
Participation awards.
Shut
up, mate.
No.
He knows exactly where he's at, but he won't say it here.
Oh.
Been a tough year.
So humble.
It's
so
been
humble.
A tough year.
Thank you so much for your time, guys. This was a ball.
That was
I hope
Thanks
you learned a lot
us.
From our resident expert.
Really?
We have.
Like, I know who I need to call now if I need any stats. Personally, I'll jump onto Rewa and just look it up.
Jump on Rewa.
Shane.
You find me on that.
Thanks so much, guys. Yeah, good luck with the rest of the reno.
Thank you.
No worries. Thanks, guys.
Beautiful.